Okay. In the name of Jesus, we have this afternoon class by learning a reason for the hope that is in you. This class will focus on how to prepare ourselves to preach the gospel, to share with others what we have received from the Lord. Also, prepare our mindset. People may reject what we said, or even return evil to us. Even though we may have a fervent heart, but people may just pour cold water on you. Are we going to stand firm and to continue, or we just step back and never do it again? So, first is in First Peter chapter 3. The verse on your schedule is chapter 3, verse 15. We are going to study this verse and find out a five principles in preaching the gospel. But first, let's go through quickly about the First Peter chapter 3. So, this chapter theme is submission, and suffering for the righteousness. Okay, so from verse 1 to 7 is a submission in the house, in the home. So he mentioned about the relationship between husband and wife, how the wife should submit herself to the husband. And in verse 7, finally, he said, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel." So, this is a teaching about husband and the wife. From verse 8 to 17, this is a section talking about godliness in suffering. We may suffer for Jesus. We may suffer when we are doing good. From verse 18 to 22, Jesus, he is the example. He showed us the power of suffering for doing good. So Jesus was crucified. He was tortured. Physically, but he steadfast to complete salvation. So basically, this is the chapter 3. Okay, we are going to focus on the second section from verse 8 to 17. This is the godliness in suffering. Because we don't have time to cover the whole chapter, but we just go through this section. Just in this section, there's a subtitle. From verse 8 to verse 9, this is a plea for unity and the love among God's people. So this is in verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courageous, be courteous. Verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So this is unity. Everybody have the same heart. And then from verse 10 to 12, the blessing that comes to those who turn away from evil and do good. Verse 10 to verse 12. This morning I missed two Joseph. We have four Joseph here. So another Joseph is Joseph. Hey, Joseph, please read verse 10 to 12. Thank you. So we can see how the blessing will come. If we continue to do good, the Lord will take care of the rest. So we don't have to be worried. Even though we may feel so sorrowful, how come people treat us like this? But we have to face the reality. This is the world. From 13 to 17, how to handle it when our good is returned with evil? This is even more difficult to bear, right? 13 to 17. Another Joseph. Joseph Wu, right? Mojo. Please. Thank you. So this session basically talking about how to handle it, right? Just like Jesus, he prayed all the time. He wanted to complete the work for salvation. That's why, on the days of preaching, always come with the prayer. To prepare himself, because at any moment someone may come just run to him and then challenge him, or he may just meet someone and then preach the gospel. Okay, so this is how to handle it when the evil just came on our way. Let's focus on this section from 13 to 17. So verse 13, who is he? Who will harm you? Right? Who is he? Who will harm you? So, a principle for Christians is to always answer evil with good. Someone, says some evil word to us. What are we going to return? With evil or with good? The principle, what Jesus demonstrate to us is always return it with good. But the reality of this world is people often answer good with evil, right? We do good to others, but they answer with evil. So that's why, have you ever, this morning during the discussion, did you share with others about how you preach the gospel? Have you ever encountered someone really talk back to you, or then or argue with you, or even curse the Christianity? Someone they not polite at all. They just show their anger to Christians. So this is a reality. The more we preach, all different kind of reaction we will receive. Don't be afraid. This is a training for us to be even more stronger, because we know people, they either reject or accept, or they just keep silent. But if they are the chosen one, God will call them in a later time. Okay, so always answer evil with good. This is a contrast, right? In verse 13, it says, if you become follower of what is good, right? So, verse 13. If you become follower of what is good. So, literally, become follower in Greek, is a bit zealous. 很热心, 很热心, with Jesus. So Acts chapter 21, verse 20. 22, verse 3. Galatians chapter 1, 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. This is all the same word in Greek. Though all about with Jesus in certain area. Just like in Galatians chapter 1, it's talking about the Israelites, the Jews, they are so eager, zealous in keeping the law, right? But to Paul, he is so eager to preach. So become followers of Jesus. So we know Jesus, he is good, right? He is righteous. He's righteous. So if we are the follower of what is good, then he mentioned, who is he? Who will harm you? So now the question is, what do we behave? Are we a follower of what is good? Verse 14. But even if you shall suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. So if we need to suffer for righteousness, God will care for us. Especially when we suffer unjustly. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12, the teachings about bitterness on the mountain, right? Blessed are those who, what? Blessed are those who suffer for righteousness, right? You know it, right? Yeah? It seems not sure, though. Matthew chapter 10, chapter 5. Matthew 5, 10 to 12. Beatitudes, right? 10 to 12. Joseph, right? Let's come to Emily. We have two Emily here. Emily Xiao. Emily, where are you? Okay, please. Okay, in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. This is a big promise. So if we are persecuted because of preaching gospel, praise is you. Because this is how Jesus, he demonstrated in his life. And also, he promised to those who become his follower. In verse 14, say, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. So our biggest fear is when people come to persecute us, we may lose our life, right? The persecutors can do is just kill our body. Just like there's a anti-Christ or anti-Christians. They just kill the Christian. Now about 1 week ago in Kenya, there's a bus from Nairobi to the northwest of the province in Kenya. Because in the northern region, the majority are Muslim. But in south, in Nairobi, most of them are Christians. So on one bus, a terrorist just just rub in. You know, they stop the bus because there is long distance bus. They usually depart from Nairobi, the capital, at about 11 or 12. Then arrive and they're designated in the morning. So during the midnight, this is the most dangerous time. The wicked just stop the bus on the way because in the middle of nowhere, right? No policeman, no house, just like this. And they stop it. And the test ask, they separate Muslim one side and then Christian one side. And they wanted to rob everybody and then they wanted to kill the Christian. But at this moment, all the Muslim, they shout. They cannot bear any kind of this terrorist attack. They say, if you want to kill everybody. Otherwise, you run. You fight. So the terrorists, they are scared. You know, they are not to kill everybody. They just ran their way. You know, so this is the kind of the situation more and more Christians they face. In the reality for the country, you know, sometimes we may be lost our life because of our faith. Okay, so what do we fear for? Do we fear to lose life for Jesus? The present or possibility of suffering for doing good should not make us drink back from doing good, right? So the good means we preach gospel. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, 14 to 16, let's turn to this verse. In 1 Peter, he mentioned a lot about the suffering. And Jesus is the example. We have to imitate Jesus and follow his way. Chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. 14 to 16. Another Emily. Emily Xue. Emily, where are you? Yes, please. Amen. So, here, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. It's very encouraging. That's how Peter, in this episode, he keep emphasizing. You better suffer for the good instead of suffering because of our sin or our wrongdoing. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Huh? So the key verse now for this class. We should give a special place in our heart. This is called sanctified. Huh? To God only. In our heart. So another translation is, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. So this is a little bit different, right? Sanctify Christ as Lord, my only Lord in my heart. Or in NKJV, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Similar, a little bit different. Okay? So let us think about sanctify in our heart. We put a place specially for Jesus Christ, not for other things, right? So in our heart, do we have a room for Jesus? Or do we prepare a lot of rooms for other things, for other laws? Let's go to see. So, be aware of other laws which are permitted to invade the sanctuary of our heart. And to exercise dominion over us. So we have to keep our heart, make sure our heart has only one law. This is the law Almighty, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But sometimes we open our heart widely for other things. We give them a permission to into our heart and then rule over us. So we may be dominated by this kind of different laws. You know, nowadays, desire, right? Games, you know, entertainments, peer pressures, worries. What else? So many things, right? We maybe have a long list. So, what are the other laws? Think about it. So, this and the many other laws command us, and we turn away our simple and the complete allegiance to our only Lord, right? Let's turn to this verse. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, 18. We do almost everything in the name of Jesus, right? So make sure it is not just in the church, but also in our life. Verse 18. Let's go for this time for Jack. We have any Jack here? Jack Xu. And another Jack, right? Jack Young is not here yet. Jack, right? Jack. Yeah. Okay. So, our Lord Jesus, He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead? In all things, He may have the preeminence. Let us honor Him. Put Him in our first place of heart. He is our first priority to honor, to listen. And in verse 15, continue, He said, always be ready to give a defense to everyone. No? Always be ready. At any moment, be ready to answer someone. You know, people may ask you a reason, then you give a defense and just say it, proclaim it. So always be well equipped in the Word of God to explain our faith to anyone. Maybe the atheist come to ask you, right? Other Christians want you to explain why TJC is important, it's the only church. Buddhists may come in to challenge you, how come Jesus, He is the only Savior. Right? Muslim may just question you. We are also the descendants of Abraham. Right? Actually, the Mount Moriah in the mountain, the father Abraham offered the beloved son, who is Ishmael, not Isaac. What are you going to say? Right? They may have a different theory. They challenge you. And we have to be ready. We must be well prepared for the word of God and to defense. So this is called always. What does it mean? Always. You always have something. You know it, and then you can say it. Okay. So Peter, he is a good example. He experienced this situation many times. In Book of Acts, we can see how Peter, he prepared himself, always be ready to answer, to face the challenge, even to the point he may just be imprisoned or lost his life. Right? Peter was put on this situation. Let's turn to chapter 8, Acts chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14. On the date of Pentecost, they received Holy Spirit. Right? But this is the beginning. Then the persecution follow. When the Holy Spirit came upon him and with apostles, people, some just mock about, yeah, they're drunk. Peter, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. This is the first time, right? Peter became so brave. And he actually well prepared the word of God, the Old Testament. So this morning we learned the book of Joel. This is how he referred this situation, the Holy Spirit with the prophecy. In chapter 3, now, persecution comes. Chapter 3, verse 11. And 12. Let's go for Lily Huang. Okay, enough, huh? Okay, so now when people get up and so amazed about the miracle, then Peter, he stand up and then just proclaim, right? So this is another sermon. It's just so simple to Peter. He just delivered the message very clear, testified about the gospel. Chapter 4, now, after his message, chapter 4, verse 8, actually verse 5, huh? To verse 5. They are persecuted in chapter 4, verse 2, verse 3, Peter and the apostles are present. In chapter 4, verse 5, we have another lady, right? Is there another lady here? Yes, lady, you can read Chinese. Oh, no worry. And verse 6. Verse 7. Okay. So, now, Peter, he faced all this Sanhedrin. The scholar, the priest, the elders, right? The Pharisees. Now, they want to challenge Peter. Peter, in verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, and said to them, rulers of people and the elders of Israel.
Listen.
And this is how Peter made the Sanhedrin so amazed. How come this uneducated fisherman behave like this? So wonderful. So in chapter 5, the same. The chapter 5, you can flip to the verse by yourself. So in each situation, Peter relied on the power of the Holy Spirit and was able to give a defense. This so-called always be ready, right? Be ready. Who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you? So we have to make sure ourselves first. We do know whom we believe. And we have this assurance about hope, eternal life. Then we are able to answer. Otherwise, we may just confuse ourselves in our heart. We are not sure. And then our word is just powerless. So, what is the hope? The hope is a living hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 3, this is a living hope. Living hope. 1 Peter 1, 3. The hope. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of Jesus resurrected, now we have this living hope. A hope of resurrection. Because we will follow the footstep of Jesus. And our faith and the hope are in God. So this hope, not from our own imagination, but because we have faith in Jesus, who is God. Right? In chapter 1, 21, the same book, 1 Peter, chapter 1, 21. It all relates to the resurrection of Jesus. Chapter 1, 21. Let's say for brother Justin. How many Justin here? Only one Justin? Justin Chen. Justin. Yeah, only one Justin. In SSC, we have so many Justin. Yeah, please. Amen. Okay. So, our faith and hope are in God. And because it's Almighty God raised Jesus from death. Now, regarding to the attitude, when we preach, when we give a reason for defense, say, with meekness and fear, So, in this verse, in verse 15, basically, three attitudes, very important. These are crucial. We have to learn. First, be ready. Always be ready, right? So, in 15, if you read again, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone. So, preparation. We prepare ourselves, always be ready. This is our part. We have to do it. Yes, Holy Spirit will give us the word, the courage to say it. But if we don't prepare ourselves, then we have nothing to say. We have no base to proclaim. So this is our part, our homework. We do it first. Toward ourselves, but toward others, when the one who come to ask, we answer with meekness. So, with a humble heart, humility, showing we are disciples of Jesus, we follow Jesus. This is how Jesus, he is so gentle, right? He is so meek to care others. So with others, toward others, always be humble. Toward God, this is heart of fearful heart. We fear God because we know God is almighty. He is in control. So these three attitudes, right? Prepare, meanness, and fear. Ourselves, others, and God. Okay. In verse 16, what happened? In verse 16, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. So, basically, our good conduct, when our good is returned with evil, will prove others wrong in their opinions about us. Right? If we return them with good, then our actions show our quality. So it will make them ashamed for speaking against our godly lives. So the problem is, how are we going to return them? If our heart has been filled with the Word of God, we really have the life of Jesus within us. Then we will always be calm and then return them with good. So our good conduct is important. Our life, basically, is our daily life. In verse 17 say, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So none of us want to suffer, right? Yeah, we are not volunteers say, I want to suffer. No. But if we must, may it be for doing good, not for doing evil. So if we suffer because our own desire, because our own sin, then that's what we're supposed to get. But if not, we're doing good, but suffer, perhaps we are. So, five principles. First, build this solid foundation in sound doctrine. We have to know who Jesus is and his gospel. Because we are going to proclaim, to preach what we have learned, this gospel, the salvation. So, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Right? So we have to know what we believe. This is the basic. It's very fundamental. Let us all prepare our base doctrine so we know what to say. Second, understand the faith well and be able to explain clearly. We have to make people can follow our doctrine. We have explained to them step by step our thinking, our logic is clear. Why we proclaim in this way? Why we say Holy Spirit is important, which has been evidenced by speaking in tongues. So verse, we know how to interpret. Right? But the Bible incident, we know how we relate to each other. So we have to understand the faith well. So this is why, be ready to give an answer. Number three, have confidence in eternal life. It's a reason for the hope. If we are not sure about the eternal life, what are we going to say? Will people accept what we said? Probably not. Number four, preach with right attitude. So no debating or arguing. Never win a soul through debating, right? Never. Even with the debate, we won the debate, but we may lose our life. That's how Stephen was showing us in chapter 6, chapter 7, book of Acts. Okay, so attitude. And then, fear of offending God. We are not going to offend God, right? We always obey God. We preach the gospel of Jesus, not our own thought. We are not make up our own theory, but just be faithful about the gospel, because we know God is the master. We fear him. We listen to him. So this is a five principle. Okay. And then ask one question. Ask yourself, okay? How do you become a Christian? If people come to you and ask, how do you become a Christian? What are you going to say? How are you going to explain to them clearly? Huh? Or you ask yourself first, why I believe in this faith? Several questions follow. You may consider, do you confess that you are a sinner? Right. Second, do you confess the Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross for redeeming me from sin? So I'm a sinner. I do need a Savior who has been crucified on the cross for my sake. And this verse you can prepare. And then, do you decide to walk on the way as the Lord walk? First John 2, 3 to 6, we read this verse in the morning. Do you decide to walk on the right way? Final, how do you know that you have eternal life? Right? Because this is spiritual, unseen by our physical eyes. Do we have confidence? Do we know? Yes, I have eternal life. How do you prove it? How can we help others to understand? Yes, when we believe in Jesus, in this church, yes, we are sure we have eternal life. Through reading Bible, through prayer, through experience all the miracles in the church and in our brother sister's life, we see, yes, eternal life is here. Okay? So this is what I have for this class. Yes, please. Previous slide. This one. Okay. All right. Time's up. Let's pray in silence first.